The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron, from South Bend to Arrowhead, from football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
Who the hell is this sitting here in front of us?
Hello. It's great to be here with you guys.
You are so pissed.
I am. I'm not pissed.
You
I'm
had to drive
to
here. You didn't. You couldn't just roll out of bed and flip on the phone or the Zoom and record.
Well, usually I was coming from the beach to in the afternoons when we were
kicking
doing
sand on little guys' faces.
Kicking sand.
Is that what you've been doing?
Taking names.
Kicking sand. Taking names.
But no, it's great to be back here with you guys and excited about the draft coming up and. Man, I listened to. I was driving home last night and listened to the whole Royals game. It wasn't the best game, but it was fun to listen to. You know,
fun to care.
Yeah, it was fun to listen to.
Have a rooting interest.
The Cubs didn't have a game, so I had the Royals to listen to.
Well, it's awful nice. The Royals are thrilled.
I know.
Love being your second fiddle.
No, they are. Okay. Just going to let you know that they are. They're second, but they're still one of my favorites. But they're not number one.
Yeah. Okay. That's, good to know.
Yep.
Good to know. Tim. First of all, good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
That's number one. I want to say that. Number two, we want to say
get
Tim's
the hell out of here. That's number two.
Tim's get the hell out of here. Tim is proudly brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. If you're looking for a great spot to watch the draft, Twin Peaks has got you covered with TVs everywhere. 29-degree man-sized draft beers if you're man enough to order it and finish it, by the way. You can get it right there, plus a made-from-scratch menu. The most scenic views in town there at Twin Peaks, twinpeaksrestaurant.com to find them online and see that great made-from-scratch menu, or just see them in person in Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland. Twin Peaks, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs, Royals baseball, NFL draft, they have got it covered for you. All the action is on. Go check it out at Twin Peaks starting on Thursday night. Tim, you have a dream.
I have a dream.
It's been told to me many times. You're apparently a good follow on Twitter. Do you agree with what Grunhard's tweeting about? He keeps tweeting about Joe Alt to the Chiefs. Is Joe Alt going to the Chiefs?
There's been a lot of angst.
And I'm like, no, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that's going to happen. Tim Grunhard says it's going to happen. He says it's a done deal. I said, no chance. Grunhard has no idea what he's talking about. They're like, I like what Grunhard's tweeting. I want Joe Alt.
He guaranteed it.
And he just kept peppering me.
I didn't guarantee it, and I didn't say it's a done deal.
I know.
Although I have talked to his dad, my good buddy John Alt, who I played with for about 8 years with the Kansas City
Chiefs. He's a lot taller than you.
He's a lot, and so is Joe. Joe is a lot taller than me, too.
Big people, the Alts.
They are big people. You know, Mark, the older son, played for the Carolina Hurricane and played at the University of Minnesota hockey. So very.
How tall is he?
He's about 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, there's some big defenseman probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's a defenseman, absolutely.
So there's some big boys on the ice now.
So talk to John a little bit, and you know, the Chiefs have contacted him a couple times over the last week, and you know, listen, it's a dream. I don't think it's going to happen, but once again, I said like the Dumb and Dumber thing, when you got about a 1 in a million chance that it happens. So there is a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, let's vet it.
Let's
vet it.
Let's work through it.
If what it would take, so right, people
so
know.
I will give you my thought, and then you can.
Okay, but first, let me ask you this. Is he the best tackle in this draft, in your opinion?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, according to the combine, running around in your underwear, he's the number one tackle in the combine. He was a three-year starter at the University of Notre Dame, which, to me, that gives you an extra star and a half.
You know what it means? It means he can dominate Navy. He can dominate Army. He can push around East Carolina.
He certainly kicked the crap out of Syracuse.
He's
going to
stomp some Georgia Tech ass.
They have one of the hardest schedules around.
They do not.
Well, they used to.
They used to.
Yeah. Well, who did they play? Who did they play this year? I don't
know. Their schedule doesn't suck.
Yeah, we'll see what they
But they love their tradition with Boston College.
They played Ohio State in 93.
Michigan, we don't need to keep.
They
we don't
Ohio
need to keep
State.
Playing Michigan anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But damn,
well, Michigan,
Navy.
Michigan's the one who dropped out of it. Navy, they play Navy. I've told you the reason why they play Navy. Navy bailed Notre Dame out during the Depression. And, you know.
Have they paid that back yet?
Yep. Notre Dame.
Well, you know, there's no funding at Navy. So that's they right. need the game, and they need the because you know the federal yeah. government.
That's right.
A little thin.
We have to spread money around to different other different places.
They're according to college football references, they use the formula that most people use for schedule. Notre Dame's schedule last year 60th of 133, so middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack.
Not great, not bad.
So settle down.
Okay. Well, who they played? Ohio State. I can't remember who they played. They played Clemson.
They played four ranked teams, Ohio State, Duke, Clemson. Louisville, USC, and Oregon State, so five.
They played Clemson.
USC did not end up being ranked. Right. I don't think Oregon State
And Clemson
did.
Wasn't ranked at the time they played them. That's at the time the teams played.
Yeah. It's a fine. The schedule's fine. Let's not get sidetracked.
It's all good.
Let's come back. Joe Wald is the consensus top tackle.
I think so.
Okay. And let's go over what it would take. To go up. First of all, you feel comfortable. This is a decade. You're going to play him.
So,
you're going to be happy to give him a big, fat contract extension and keep him for a second contract.
And my theory is to solidify the second most important position on the team, which is left tackle, for 12 years. You spend the draft capital.
Okay.
Mahomes is the crown jewel of this organization, of this team. He goes down, the team goes down. So you go out and you draft the best tackle, by the way, is a chief legacy. He's got great athleticism. He's got great quick hands. He's a really, really good pass blocker, great at the second level, and I think has an opportunity to be a Pro Bowler for many, many years. Whether he's with the Chiefs or not, I want him with the Chiefs, but if he's not with the Chiefs, he still will be a Pro Bowler somewhere, and he'll have a nice career.
Okay. Now, let's talk about what it would take. According to the trade charts, which we heard Brett Veach say, but we get on the phones, which charts are you guys using? Because there's a lot of charts out there. Mm-hmm. So they keep, like, they go by this board. So if we want to get something from them, we got to talk their language and pay their price.
Right.
It's possible they'll look at the board and go, yeah, that we don't like that chart because it's way too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody gets one chart and goes, well, they overpaid or they underpaid. There are a number of them.
Okay.
But let's give two different ones. Okay. According to Over the Cap. Right, for the Chiefs to get up to number 9.
And the reason why I think 9 would be the sweet spot for them, the Titans have been talking about taking Ault pretty much the whole offseason, and then recently now they're talking about taking a wide receiver and not taking a offensive tackle. Now, if they're never going to get up to 7. They're never going to get up to 6.
If they can get to 9, they can get to
right.
those 2.
So when I'm saying 9, the Chicago Bears will come out and say, listen, we want to trade that 9th pick because we want to get more picks in this draft. Brian Poles, who's a GM who was with the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously the relationship is there. And people are saying, well, nobody's going to trade with the Chiefs because nobody wants to help the Chiefs out. If one team would, it would be Brian Poles with Chicago. Huh?
Ryan
Poles. Sorry, Brian Poles. Ryan Poles, who would be the best dancing partner for the Chiefs and Chiefs organization because there's a relationship there. Then, once again, this is all conjecture and it's all a stretch.
Right.
But it's my little stretch.
But can I add to it?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they know each other, so they could cut through the BS, get right to it.
Right.
Ryan, what's it going to take? It's going to take this. I think that's too much. Brett, I got to have it. And here's what I hear on Ryan Poles' end. Make a break for us this year, Brett. Like, we got to get this right.
Right.
Like, I can't move this deal. We're going to bring in Caleb Williams, but I don't get the, 3 years to see if it works. Like, we did that with Justin Fields now.
We're still working off of that.
Right.
We got to hit the ground running, and so I got to have this. That's what I think is important is they could cut through the BS and get right to what it's going to take for him to get it. And it may not just be what's on a chart. Ryan Poles may say to him, I got to win. Like, I know you don't want to hear this, but I got to win this deal.
But also, in order for them to win, they do need to get more picks in this draft. So that 9th pick is not really going to help them. They need more picks. So, you know, go ahead and go through your theory, but that would be probably adding at least 2 or 3 picks in this draft and then maybe a couple in the next.
Yeah, but to Tim's point, what I think is important to know is the Bears have 1, 9, then they don't pick again until the 3rd, then they pick the 4th, and they don't have a 5th, 6th, or 7th.
Right.
right? And they were 8-9 last year.
Right.
One of those spots is going to quarterback, and that quarterback left. He doesn't move over and play wide out.
Right.
It's not college where, like, that's a one for one. Hopefully you get better, but you haven't filled any other spots that needed filling when you put Caleb Williams in for Justin Fields. So I think where there is some validity, if 9 will get you there, right? There's a reason for the Bears to say, yeah, we want a tackle, but they've done a pretty good job in rebuilding their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like a tackle, we'd take a tackle, or we like the other things, but we need a lot of things.
They need a lot of things.
And so I think from that standpoint, on the, hey, could this work? We're just, again, we're talking hypotheticals here. Could this work? Yes, it could work for all the reasons we've said. The Bears have many needs and getting more picks. Now the question is, what do you give them?
Right.
Right? What's it worth?
And this is where you come in.
And this is where the separation between the two charge plays a huge role.
Yeah. And these are just two of many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But two that are popular. Over the caps chart values the Chiefs' number 32 pick at 1244, a point system.
Right.
Right? The number 9 pick, 1887. Yeah. So to make it a completely fair swap, you got to get 643 points of value. The Chiefs' second round pick, 892. So according to this one, you're there and even asking for, you know, a later fifth round pick next year.
Right.
Right? 9 and fifth next year for first and second this year. According to this one, it gets it done. Now, there's another chart that we use a lot. I don't even know what it's called. Doesn't matter. There's a million of them. Look it up. You can do the same game. Chiefs number 32 pick valued at 590. The Bears number 9 pick valued at 1350.
I don't like that one.
You got to find 760 points of value. Their second round pick, 270.
Mm.
Their third round pick, 120.
Mm. You got to get the rest of the draft up.
You've got to get, and then some.
Yeah.
Yeah, because every pick they have on that chart, every pick they have in this draft combines to 1,074 points, which leaves them 276 shy of getting to number 9, which means every pick in this draft plus the second next year.
You know, I just talked to Ryan Poles. I was calling him while we were talking. He said he likes the first.
He likes the first one. Yeah, good. Oh, that's good. That's good.
I guarantee Brett Veach likes the first one.
Yeah.
I don't think you're – so that's my point is, like, as we look at these charts, I think Ryan Poles is going to be more on this chart and say, look, I know I've got Caleb Williams, but I got to get picks. I need more picks. And I've got to win this trade for PR value. Yeah. Me and Matt Eberflus, we got to win the deal.
Yeah, the numbers can't be even.
No doubt I've got to make good decisions with the picks. But, Brett, I can't have a – you know, so, listen, I need – 1-3 this year, I need 1-3 next year.
Mm.
Or I need 1-3 this year, I need 1 next year, and I need a 4 and a 5.
Mm.
So 3 years worth of pick, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I got to come away with so many picks that I somewhat muddy the water with being able to evaluate me, or it takes 3 years to evaluate. You're like, well, you didn't get enough for pick number 9. Well, I still got 2 more years worth of picks.
Right.
If you'll do that, we'll make it happen. So I would ask you, is Joe Alt good enough? We know the position's premium, and we know he's the best this year, the consensus best this year. Is he so good that you would give up 2 first-round picks and, let's say, 2 third-round picks for him?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would give up my first this year, my first next year, and maybe a third this year and hope that that does it. Or maybe a second this year. First and second. And then a first next year. I don't know if I can give away too many picks. So it's hard. I'm having a hard time getting there also. I mean, I really am. And this is a stretch, and I get it. And that's why I said, like we were talking about the Dumb and Dumber, there's a 1 million chance, so there is a chance. I just think that if you solidify the left side of the offensive line for Patrick Mahomes, here's the deal. Patrick Mahomes is naturally going to get a little bit slower. Injuries are going to happen a little bit more as you get older and older. He's probably going to play, let's say Patrick plays 10 more years. It'd be nice to have a left tackle that is solid there for 10 years to protect him and the backside. I'm tired of these rent-a-tackles they keep bringing in because something devastating is going to happen eventually.
You're not that tired because they keep adding trophies.
Yeah. Oh no! Yeah,
they're making it work.
But I am.
But your point is valid.
But I hate watching it. I really do. And you're right. They keep at it. And people you're saying, well, you know, they need to get a wide receiver. And then the big fight is, well, the wide receivers sucked this year, and they still won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's hard to argue with those facts that, you know, if you keep winning Super Bowls, then why are we even in the draft? Let's just go ahead and just, you know, just keep the same team and just keep doing what we're doing. But in my mind's eye, I think, I'm always thinking, okay, listen, because I've played the game 11 years. I've seen quarterbacks slow down. I've seen them, you know, I've seen older guys. I've seen Joe Montana in the getting iced up in the training room.
Or laying on the ground after you blew a block and have to go pick him up.
That wasn't me. That was Jeff Criswell. Hi, Jeff. How you doing? But the hard as cement to Buffalo turf cost me a Super Bowl. But I digress. But I've seen him in, you know, icing up that elbow and icing up those knees and, you know, walking around like a mash.
Oh, you're 100% correct.
And, you know, it just happens. And he had an unbelievable offensive line for many years there. It's just part of the process at the quarterback position. Oh. And if Patrick Mahomes goes down, man, you know.
I think your reasoning is 100% sound. Right. I love it. I love the idea. And I've said all along, if you got to give up next year's first, then and you know this is a tackle that you know. Andy Heck signs off on him. Brett Veach signs off on him. The area scout signs off on him. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid watches the tape, and he signs off on him. And everybody agrees this guy will solve left tackle. Then I'm all for giving up two first-round picks for him because you're at pick 32 already.
Yeah.
And Curtis and I keep doing these things. We did O-tackle yesterday, and the O-tackles that come from 27 to 37 are less than stellar.
Right, they
right?
are.
There are two guys, Mitchell Schwartz, who Cleveland took to play the right side, and the Saints guy.
Ryan Ramczyk.
Ramczyk, who made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And Schwartz didn't make a Pro Bowl, but he was first team All Pro.
Yeah. Right.
There are two guys in the last 20 years at that pick that qualified as what you call a franchise caliber tackle. So where they're picking, they're not going to get this guy. Right. So if you want to solve that, it's worth two first round picks. Are you really going to sweat not having Felix Onyedike Uzomah? If last year you could have sent this pick to the Bears going, next year we're going to take your number 9. Would anybody be complaining?
Right.
Because and wideouts we've run, there's a high volatility on wideouts. We ran wideouts today. And it's better.
Yeah.
It's a better spot to draft wideouts than it is tackles. So, but so is later in the second. So is the third. If you want a premium tackle, for the most part, they go in the upper half of the first round. So all your logic and reasoning is sound. The question is, can you pay the price to get there?
And so if I was the Chiefs, I would, first of all, it's got to be a perfect storm. The Tennessee Titans, which are most likely going to take Alt at 7. Now there's some grumblings and rumblings that they're going to take a wide receiver there, the kid from LSU. What's it, Neighbors?
Neighbors.
They're talking about taking him, which would slide Alt now down, maybe down to 9. I forget who's at 8.
8 is Atlanta.
Atlanta. And Atlanta is, who they predict.
They've got him on an edge usually, right? The top edge guy?
I think so, yeah. Check the most recent ones.
Let's take a look here and see.
They
have edge. They have Dallas Turner from Alabama. So that would push Alt down to 9. And, you know, if I were the Chiefs, I'd pick up the phone and just say, hey, listen, here, what are you looking for? And if it's too steep of a price, then you say, okay, well, thanks, but no thanks. But if it's something that you should negotiate and solidify that position, like you said, full disclosure, I mean, I've known this kid since he was born. All right. So, you know, Colin was his host at Notre Dame when he came on his recruiting trip. So, you know, Joe, I was at the Super Bowl with Joe in Miami. So I love the kid. I love the family. I think he's an excellent football player. He comes from a great line of athletes and great people. And John would have played another 5 or 6 years, but he had a horrible back injury and had to get fused a couple,
vertebrae
in his back, so that kind of knocked him out. So I am a little bit skewed here when it comes to this pick, but I also do believe that the Kansas City Chiefs eventually have to invest in an offensive tackle to protect. And you're right, we have been collecting trophies. But man, oh man, at times last year, we looked pretty soft at that tackle position. And Patrick Mahomes is not getting any younger.
I think there's no need to sell.
Yeah.
The reason.
Right.
Yeah. The question is the price.
Right.
And even by the draft board that isn't favorable to the Chiefs, two firsts and a second could get them from 32 to 9. That's 14, 590 twice and 270 is 1450.
Okay.
That puts them well and within range. 13, the number 9 pick right now is valued at 1350. That gets them to 8.
And when they re-sign their entire D-line, and by the way, they're up against it on cap-wise, moving a first and a second, that's less money. It's all going into one guy.
Right.
Right? I think he would actually be more expensive than 32 and 64 combined versus number 9. But you know, they do seem to have checked all the boxes of what they want, assuming Rashi Rice is going to play, except left tackle.
And hopefully you have an all-pro left tackle at the left tackle position for 4 years under a rookie contract, which fits into the whole theory of don't overpay. Instead of going and paying for a couple of guys that are in their 9th, 10th, 11th year, you're paying a bunch of money for them to go out there and be average to poor.
If you know the phrase where we talked about what they said about Mahomes when they made that move, and a lot of people were questioning. They were, believe me, they were questioning that pick. And their response was, if we got it right, no one will even remember what we gave up. And I think at left tackle, it's almost the same thing.
Yep.
I don't know that anybody will remember what you gave up.
And I would contend that it's the second most important position on the field. Now, you know, people talk about corners, and people obviously talk about, you know, defensive ends and rush ends, but I think the left tackle position is the second most important position. So, yeah, it's not quite up there with the quarterback.
So let's flip it around. You're the Bears.
Yeah.
You just gave away 9. So what do you do with 32, 64, and next year's, like, oh, great, so we got 2 32s and 64 for 9?
Yeah. You probably have a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah.
You do.
I love it. And maybe he slides, because here's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
I see his athleticism scores, and they're really good. But I hear people say
his arms aren't long enough.
His arms, they're not as long as, like, some of the other guys.
Right.
And that he's not explosive. He's more of a tactician than he is. So could he slide?
Well,
Do they not have to go? No. We heard Brett Veach say in his press conference, hey, if a top five guy on our board gets down into the teens, then, yeah, we'll be ready to make a move.
The problem is the Chargers are looking at a tackle. The Raiders are looking at a tackle. This is 12, 13, and 14. The New Orleans Saints are looking at a tackle. So what? I don't think he's going to slide any lower than maybe 12.
Unless he's not been the number one tackle. Like, everyone has Marvin Harrison Jr. going number one.
Yeah.
And now one of the things I hear routinely from the ESPN insider guys is that a lot of teams have Neighbors ahead of him.
Yeah.
And so if Neighbors goes in front of him, there's going to be this big backlash. Oh, my God, so-and-so reached. How do they go past Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because Marvin Harrison Jr. was anointed last year, the consensus number one receiver this year, yet, according to people that talk to teams, and they all say, one of them was a Graziano, who we had on at the Super Bowl. He's like, listen, people say a lot of things this time of year. You don't necessarily take it all as truth. Sometimes it's smokescreen. But he said, yes, I've had a number of teams tell me they like Neighbors ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, the receivers are sexy. No one's really talking about the tackles because it's just been Joe Alt. Well, I remember a draft where the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and the all-time leading rusher in college football history was going to be the first running back taken. And then he wasn't.
Yeah.
Edgerrin James was.
Yeah.
And Ricky Williams waited to hear his name called. Maybe the arm length thing works against Joe Alt.
Yeah.
And maybe he is there. And instead of going to 9, we're talking about 13, 14, 15.
Wow. Yeah. That'd be interesting. And maybe that's why the Chiefs have contacted him and are communicating with him just for if he does slip or if they get up to 9 and they can at least make that phone call. So, hey, it's an interesting topic.
But you would go 2 first and a second.
I would go 2 first. A second's hard, but
I would be.
I'm going to do.
Isn't this the year to do it?
This year.
Yes.
Yeah.
32 and 64.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if ever there's a time to do it, now's the time.
Right.
And then you say, okay, we're going to solve that issue. Opens up a lot of things we can do offensively. We'll see if we can restructure some things, maybe grab another veteran wideout. But we have solved that problem for a long time.
All right, so I know I got to take a break. Do you think that the Chiefs are going to be proactive in this draft, reactive in this draft, or they're just going to just kind of stay pat?
To quote Brett Veach, he can't help himself. He'll always be looking to move up.
All right.
Whether or not anyone will do it, that's a different story.
Well, we have Ryan Poles is our dancing partner, baby.
Grunny's back. He's in studio. We're thrilled to have him back. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more Chiefs draft next here in the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Once again, a question I came up with last night, dropped it into that first hour, and forgot we got a football guest. But here it is. Only Royal to homer in his first career World Series at bat.
Willie Akins.
That was a popular guess. He did homer twice in Game 1 in Philadelphia in 1980, but it is not Willie. He flew out to center in his first at-bat.
Okay.
And his homer came...
G. Brett.
The next inning. Nope.
Daryl Motley.
Nope.
Oh, the next inning. So it was 80?
80. Daryl Porter got on base, and Amos Otis.
He was batting that low?
He was batting 6.
Why?
Because they had a stacked lineup. The 80 team was rolling.
I guess.
Yeah.
A.O., that was towards the end of his tenure, though. How old was he then?
Let's see. 80, he'd have been probably, let me see. Click on. By the way, their lineup that night was Wilson, McCray, Brett, Akins, Porter.
Whew. Daryl Porter.
Good luck. Otis, 6, Hurdle, White, and Washington. And
UL,
the Toothpick Express.
Frank batting 8.
Yeah. And Amos Otis in 1980 was 33.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue makes all the sense in the world. If you've got a big party coming up, get a spread from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Nobody puts smiles on faces like Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get it tonight. Just order it at joeskc.com. See him in person. 47th Mission, 119th of Strangline, 117th and Row. It's Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Tim Grunhardt is with us here in the program. All right, Tim, is there any other tackle that you would like, that you'd say, like, well, let's go to 20 to get. Let's go to, like, Amarius Mims, to me, athletically tests a lot like Joe Alt, but he has not had the durability of a Joe Alt.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the super long arms, too.
Yeah, super long arms, super.
How long were your arms? Do you even remember? Was that a thing back then? Did they test you for that then?
I had big hands. I remember that. I don't remember them. I know they mentioned it, but it really wasn't that big of a deal at the center position, so I never really talked about it. That's a good question. I know the kid from Penn State, and once again, they're going to draft one of these guys because I can't pronounce any of their names. So the kid from Penn State, if he drops down, can you say his name?
Not without seeing it, and even then, it's a grenade throw.
I have it right in front of me. Can you read that name? Read that name. First day.
Here we go. I'm getting it all together to put it out there.
Okay.
Olamayiwa Fashanu.
Okay. Yes.
Fashanu.
Yes. That's that guy.
That'll work?
That'd work. But I don't think the Chiefs are going to move up, for really any tackle. I mean, this is once again my dream, and it's there's a little bit of a possibility that it could happen, but I mean it's a slight chance. Most likely they're going to, I've seen everybody from your boy Kool-Aid getting drafted by the Chiefs.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Awesome.
Corner for Alabama.
The guy that we love, and Ladd McConkey, which you guys set me up, by the way. I thought it was Phil's kid.
I did, too.
So did I.
We just found out.
Someone emailed me over the weekend.
Somebody was like, you're an idiot.
Somebody sent me an email. It's like, yeah, it's not Phil's kid. I'm like, what?
Well, it ought to be.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
It's a better story if he is.
That's right.
So, you know what? He's still his kid in my book.
How was the middle?
We are on the same page with
that. I like it better.
How was the somewhat mid-sized white receiver named McConkey not Phil McConkey's kid?
Or even related.
Stop it.
Yes.
Yeah. Not even related. His dad did play ball, so.
Bull.
High school.
But not, yeah, high school.
I want what? Proof.
I do, too.
I want a
DNA test.
I want a Jerry Springer DNA test.
That's right.
You are the son.
You are.
But I'm really not. Well, but we don't care. It works better this way.
The DNA says no. But it's better for me if you are.
Absolutely. Much better. And then it was funny because then I said, well, you know, I like Cooper Beebe. I'd love to see the Chiefs and get him. And then they're like, who is the kid Beebe from Buffalo? Oh, is that his kid?
No.
Yeah, that, I know. Yeah, because I know his looked, father very yeah. well. The Beebe family, great Kansas City family.
It's actually Dan Beebe's son.
Yeah, we've been competing against the Beebe's, the Grunharts and the Beebe's for many, many years. I coached against them all.
It's like the Hatfields and McCoys.
We get along, though. Piper. They're all at Piper. They all, believe me, we tried to recruit them at Bishop Mies as much as we possibly could.
There's no recruiting.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, now the reality comes out.
The reality is nowadays, with the way that it's set up, recruiting happens in the public schools fast and furious now, the way that the open enrollment thing is.
I agree. I was explaining that to somebody, and they're like,
They don't get it. They're like,
I'm like, yeah. Plus the school districts you can transfer within.
Yeah.
You go to whichever one you want. If you live in Blue Valley, you can go to whichever Blue Valley school you want. So... Yeah. One school is the basketball school. School is the football school.
Blue Valley Northwest.
One school is the soccer school.
If you're a basketball player, you're going to Blue Valley Northwest. You're a football player, most likely you're going to go to Blue Valley.
Just here's a thought.
Baseball is Blue Valley
Shut
West.
Shut up and stop whining.
I know. Yeah.
You win.
Start talking to me. I want to hear your – if you're going to talk about recruiting, then let's talk about the portal and let's talk about NIL. All right?
Then Will Shields' kids went to two different high schools and based on sport, right?
By the way – alumni could pay high school kids, right?
Oh, that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, it can already right now, can it?
Yeah.
Because it's been found to be not against, it doesn't affect your status. Mm-hmm. That is not just for college.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure
why don't you break out the checkbook and start paying for some EH kids?
Because I went to St. Lawrence High School in Chicago. I am not an alumni.
Well, your kids went there. They're alumni.
They could pay.
Either you want to win or you don't, Tim.
Are you committed to the effort or not, Tim?
Tim, trust me.
I have been committed to the effort, believe me.
As a guy who went out for baseball briefly in my sophomore year, I know competition, and I don't think you won it enough.
A guy who, when it was absolutely convenient at that moment,
are we going to hear about
gave 50% effort?
Yes,
Curtis Siebold.
Until I
was ready to give you a lesson.
Until I realized
being competitive.
I realized my grades weren't good enough, and I was actually pulled out of a team meeting and said, "You're done.
You're done. You're done.
You failed four classes last semester. You can't play baseball."
Is that frowned upon?
Seemingly.
Was that not supposed to fail? Was that wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, Sean, do you think that there will be a quarterback in, let's say, a California school? Maybe one of the, what's the one?
Matter Day or De La Salle.
Yeah. That $500,000 freshman quarterback?
$50,000. Yeah, I think so. Wow. I mean, we're watching it on AAU teams. And, like, to me, this is the answer. If you don't want the AAU teams having the power, fund your high school teams.
Sure.
I love it when people, I get somebody, hey, Shawnee Mission East, you know, your alma mater. Like, we really got some things going here. You know, you want to be a part of, like, no. I don't.
Are you not a booster?
No.
You don't even go buy mulch there?
No.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right.
Nothing. It's not on my way home. Right? So,
that's right.
But I'm not a booster anywhere else. I pay my tuition for my kids.
I've seen your yard work or lack of yard work.
Stop.
I mean, when I walk in there, I almost brought a rake. There are three different companies you're pissing off right now. Yeah, well, I almost brought a rake.
Yeah.
One isn't all about fitness, is it? Or not all about, what's your...
All-weather decks?
All-weather decks.
No. Well, they don't, all-weather decks did do the work there, but no, they don't do the landscape and the mowing and all that kind of stuff.
I know, yeah.
You came by after like this huge... Like hail and windstorm.
I was walking through 3 feet of leaves. I said, I'm bringing my rake next week. I will do yard work.
It came by the day after a bunch of leaves.
Was it in the fall? Was that what it was?
It probably was in the fall.
Yes. Okay, well, so
that's usually when the leaves do fall.
Well, I didn't know if it was like, you know, when twigs and all that blows out of the trees.
No, it was in the fall.
I'm not paying for a leaf cleanup every week.
You sound like
I don't live in your tax bracket, Tim.
You sound like my dad.
I'll pay somebody to do my stuff.
My dad used
to. But I can't pay him to come do the leaves every week.
My dad said, Mother Nature, God put it down there. He'll pick it up. So I guess that means I don't have to do it.
Well, God's been a little busy to get to my yard.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get picked up unless I pay someone.
There you go.
He doesn't cross north of 119.
You know, you mentioned all-weather decks. I used to do all my own yard work. Even here, you know, for my whole life, I did all my own yard work. And other people's yard work when I was a kid.
Right.
But my buddy Cass at All-Weather Decks told me, he said, you've got to have more valuable stuff to do with your time.
I don't.
I know you don't. And I look forward to being at that point. But he's like, listen, whatever it would cost you to have all this done, you can generate more by focusing on what you do.
Right.
And so I don't know if that's true. I think it's true for Cass.
But you did like that theory.
He's like an entrepreneur and a super bright guy, and All-Weather Deck's a great success, and he has other companies and things. Great success. I don't know that I've actually validated that statement, but it sounded good, and I sold my wife on it.
And Lynn
bought
it.
And so I got out. She bought it.
That was the most important.
If Lynn bought in,
and now I'm out.
You know, I agree with it then. If Lynn said it was right, then it's right.
For the second time, I gave a different brother-in-law my mower. Two of my brother-in-laws mow their yard with mowers I bought. I'm out of the business.
You are a great brother-in-law.
Thank you.
I've seen that in action, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the
big party?
Yeah. Was it Johnny's or Warnell or something, was there?
No, it wasn't Johnny's, but we were there.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. I've been told take a break, so we'll take a break. We'll talk more about the draft. Next, Tim Grunhard is back. We're thrilled to have Grunny in studio. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. Looking for a great spot to watch the draft, NHL and NBA playoffs, Royals baseball. It's Twin Peaks, a made-from-scratch menu. I recommend the Hangover Burger. It's my favorite. Go check it out today at Twin Peaks. I can't remember to say my ears are going to bleed or my eyes are going to bleed in the song.
My eyes feel like they're going to bleed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's like, you know, watching Curtis play baseball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you a catcher?
No. I learned later in my ill-fated career to how to pitch in softball.
Yeah.
So I could...
So he could be on the team.
So I guess, so I wouldn't have to run as much.
Yeah. He's actually a good slow pitch softball pitcher.
The only problem is I can't pitch. To be accurate, I have to do the back flip.
Is that illegal now?
No, it's not illegal, but it puts the kind of spin on the ball that you don't want. Because if you hit it, it's going to go.
It's going to go.
It's like throwing the ball overhanded.
He's not Larry Bird.
No.
Who was not that Larry Bird.
Yeah.
But beer league softball legend Larry Bird, mm-hmm. who would be one of those very
fake the thing.
He was one of the ringers I picked up for my team, and Larry could put the foot on the rubber and then lean way out to the side and underhand it, get that
spin.
Or they do the little
spin,
thing.
But he was also coming from 12 feet outside of what would be the normal direction,
mm-hmm.
and cut it across you, and then he could actually field.
Yeah.
He could bend over at the waist and get one a hot shot back at him. He'd backpedal back to second after he pitched.
He might cover the plate on a ball.
Curtis is not backing you up. Hey, fat ass, catch the ball at the plate because I ain't coming back there.
Someone else is going to have to take care of that. It's above my pay grade.
I learned to start running from first to go cover instead of going up to second. I'm like, no. Guy's coming around. I got to go back behind the plate because – Curtis
running.
Is not moving.
Leave it to your imagination.
He's not running up the line.
Running.
Yeah. All right, when it's all said and done, they take who with their initial selection?
Well, I think they're probably going to end up taking a wide receiver. And once again, I think my draft crush is Ladd McConkey. I'd like to see them get him. But he may be gone by that time. The Xavier Leggett kid from South Carolina might be there. And A.D. Mitchell could be there. But you know what? Once again, we talk about proactive, reactive. I think the Chiefs are going to take the best player available. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a corner. Your boy Kool-Aid may end up being there because of Snead being gone. So the Chiefs will get better. They're going to draft somebody who's going to give them an opportunity. They need to improve the wide receiver room a little bit. Once again, I'd love to see the Chiefs move up and get an offensive tackle or at that tackle position. I'm not sure there's anybody there at 32 that's going to be a guy to come in and be a difference maker right away, but could be wrong. You never know. But, you know, Brett Veach has done a nice job over the last couple of years with his drafts, and I expect nothing less from Brett in this one.
Yeah, I'd love to see him move down, get more picks.
Yeah, you know what?
If he can't get the tackle, I'm with you. I don't mind a move up to go get a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, they think they've got the guy that can solve one of those sides for two decades. I love that. I really do. I think that'd be great. Otherwise, moving down.
And Carolina is a team that wants to move up and get a wide receiver. They could trade with Carolina and move down and get a couple picks from Carolina.
Or if somebody loves him, some Michael Penix or Bo Nix.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That would be a nice, get that fifth-year option on the quarterback to make sure you can keep him locked in and negotiate the long-term deal with him if you have a commitment to one of those guys.
We'll be listening to you Thursday night, that's for sure.
It'll be us. It'll be ESPN. No truth to the rumor that it'll be Mike Garozzo.
No Garozzo.
All right, among 300 game winners since 1900, he was the oldest pitcher to get his first big league win. Who is he? Brought to you by Good Sense.